You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with Sarah Malindwa.
Hello, curious fuckers. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and together we're Come Curious.
When we're not just fucking around on YouTube and Instagram.
Every Thursday we invite a new guest onto Fucks Given to talk about their best fucks, worst fucks.
And the fucks that made them.
We also answer your sex questions and read out your sex stories.
So stay tuned as we divulge all the delicious details.
Hello.
Hello.
Impressed
welcome.
With the pronunciation there.
I know, it's really like, don't fuck this up, don't fuck this up.
Please tell our curious fuckers a little bit about yourself.
Oh, a little bit about myself. How long do I have? Right, I'll keep it sort of short, sweet and punchy. So I'm Sarah Malindwa. I am a TV presenter and qualified nurse. I specialise in sexual health and HIV. I have a background in the fashion industry as well, which is completely separate from that. But I work predominantly within the fashion industry and within sexual health and the medical profession.
That's amazing. We actually met you on a shoot that we did not too long ago.
Yeah,
where we were discussing lots of sexual health things.
Yeah, you were like the sort of the guru, the one that says, oh no, maybe stay away from that, but also we need to talk about this.
Yeah, that was super fun. So can't wait for that to come out. We probably can't talk about it too much, can we? But
we don't even know when it's coming out.
Yeah,
it might be out by the time this episode comes out. Who
Fingers
knows?
Crossed. At least we haven't told them who it is. Maybe you'll be able to see us on like YouTube adverts.
Yeah,
eh?
Yeah,
just obviously.
Look out for a new, if we look like a girl band, that would be us.
Yeah, that's us, yeah. Or matchy-matchy.
Yeah. In a bed.
Oh, God.
Yeah. How did Memories. You get into working in sexual health?
So I studied nursing at university. Mm. I went to unit 17, so a year early than I was supposed to. Not because I'm super clever or anything, but basically the college super made clever. A mistake and it worked to my benefit. But yeah, so I went to uni at 17, graduated, did my nursing degree. I was qualified by the time I was 20, and then I practiced at Chelsea and Westminster Hospital in Chelsea for 5 years, and I did acute medicine, which is basically you look after everybody from strokes to heart attacks to broken limbs, like a bit of everything, which is a great way to learn as a nurse, just to get your basic knowledge on just the human body and how it works. And so after doing that for about 5 years, which is a long time I think to be on the wards, I decided to specialize. I was still young enough and I was like, I always wanted to work in the fashion industry, but it seemed like an unattainable goal.
Yeah.
And especially then, this is, we're talking pre-Instagram, pre-Twitter, before social media was a thing.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, well, you know, I love fashion, but it's not something I can actually get into. And then social media came along.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a good thing it did. And then just sort of through various platforms, just started to work with different people in the industry and build my portfolio at that time. Yeah. But at the same time, within my nursing career, I decided to specialize in something. And I was always interested in sexual health and HIV, because even as a nurse, even at university, you learn about it, of course, but it's only sort of touched on in like a module. You don't really get to learn that much about it. Mm-hmm. And I never had the chance to do like a work placement in a sexual health clinic.
Yeah.
And so after speaking to a colleague of mine, he was like, oh, there's this job going at a sexual health clinic. It's part of the trust. It's just that it's based out in Soho. So I was like, oh, okay. Weird. Sexual health is completely different to any other sort of nursing. And it almost doesn't feel like proper nursing, because people are not sick. Like everyone who's, if you're fit enough to be having sex, you're okay.
Yeah.
So it's a different form of nursing. But I was really interested to make that career move and just try something different. And then I've been doing that for, it will be 9 years this April.
Whoa, nine
so you,
years.
So you get a little peek into loads of people's bits.
Yeah, basically. So we
You've
see
seen
every,
it all.
All, like, you know when they say warts and all, that just doesn't even cover it.
That's like the perfect expression.
The perfect expression. And with the clinic where I practice, I do two clinics a week, so I'm still a practicing nurse, and we see a variety of things. So the majority of our patients are from the LGBTQ community, just because of where we're located. We're right in the heart of Soho. Yeah. So we sort of work with the most sort of undervalued in a way when it comes to health issues, group of people. We'll work with sex workers, we'll go to the gay saunas. Obviously, we'll also see a lot of heterosexuals as well. So we do with, you know, young people. I used to do the young people services, where I looked after everyone sort of under the age of 20. So I go out to schools and like youth clubs and do, you know, sex education classes, condom demonstrations. We talk about body issues, sex relationships, and just everything that comes with sex and not just the sexual health aspect of it. So that was a really nice element of my job. So everything from PEP, we do a lot of stuff about PEP and PrEP, which you guys might have heard about, which is So there's a lot going on about it in the press.
I know we said yes, but please explain what PEP and PrEP is.
Some people might not know.
Okay, yeah, it's true. So for some of the listeners might not know. So PrEP is called, it stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. So it's basically, the easiest way to explain it for everybody to understand properly is kind of like how women take the pill to stop them from getting pregnant. You take one pill every day and it essentially stops you getting pregnant. So PrEP works in a similar way. So it's targeted for people who are considered high risk for HIV. So intravenous drug users, men who have sex with men, people from high risk countries. So these are the people who are considered higher risk for HIV. So PrEP is in place for them to have, or, you know, on the NHS for now. We're doing trials and stuff to prove to the government that actually it is cost effective and it is going to do more better than more harm, you know, in the long run, financially as well as, you know, physically for people. So it's something that's available for people who are high risk, because the government hasn't put it, you know, hasn't made it available on the NHS properly. If you can't get on a trial, you can buy it. So you can buy it for, I think, £17.50 a month. So, which is more reasonable than what it was before.
Yeah, that's not even that bad, really.
No.
Yeah, you're thinking about protecting your life.
Exactly.
Protecting, you know, well, it's not even that. It's like the stigma around it.
Yeah,
it just really messes people up. Yeah. We had an amazing guest on, Caden Gray.
Yeah.
And he's like a huge HIV activist and he has HIV himself. And he just like completely blew everything out of the window of what we thought HIV was. And just, he was just an inspiration.
Yeah.
Check out his episode, guys, if you want to listen. Like, it blew us away.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it's great to have so many people coming out as HIV positive,
right?
And
yes,
who are living lives. And we've seen it in the media. We had Gareth Thomas, who is one of the greatest athletes in our country, to come out as HIV positive.
Wow.
Yeah. So when he came out with that, somebody else, I think, I won't say the name because I can't recall, but I think it was an actor from Pose or something.
Yeah.
And Pose is obviously a huge show.
Yeah, huge.
So he came out. So it's just good to give a face to something and show that actually it's not like the 80s when it was a death sentence and nobody knew how it was A, transferred, or B, how it was, you know, how it could be cured. So we've come such a long way.
Oh, God, it's so amazing when people actually just say that they have it.
Yeah.
Just so it normalises it so much for... Mm-hmm. So it's just not so much of a stigma anymore. And that's the only way the stigma
literally
is going to be banished.
Yeah.
Really,
if people can say, oh, so-and-so is a rugby player and he's big and he's fit and he's strong and he's healthy and he's lived a normal life, then it's not so scary and you don't feel so alone.
It's terrifying doing it yourself, though. Like when you actually come out with something that you feel shameful about or that you're worried about. And I feel like we should all use our platform to talk about things that, that wouldn't, people normally wouldn't talk about. It obviously might be a bit different for your career because of, you know, the type of work that you're in. But I think that it is important to normalise it. Everyone should just talk from the roofs about all their crazy shit.
We put up a video recently on YouTube saying that we both have herpes.
That's amazing.
That's such a big step, though. I kept it kind of secret for a really long time. Just because of the stigma, it's so bad.
The shame. Like people making you feel shit for it, or like the jokes that you hear. It's like, it's easier said than done because there is still so much stigma around all types of things, but especially when it comes to STIs.
Especially when it comes to STIs. And I think the longer that we've been in a world where there's a lot of shame attached to STIs, so even just having sex, especially as women, just even just owning your sexuality, because it's been like that for generations before us, it's not going to happen overnight. But I think those conversations are starting, the ball is starting to roll, so that in future generations, the things that we're talking about advocating for, young people be like, what was the big issue? So it's good to know that we're part of that generation that's starting that for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
True.
It doesn't happen overnight, but it does help. And you guys coming out and saying, because with herpes, do you know what? Herpes and warts is an interesting one, because
I've had both of those.
Have you? There you go. As most people have, you know? If you test, this is what I tell people, if you tested 100 people for the HPV virus, which is the human papilloma virus that causes genital warts, or the HSV virus, which is the one that causes herpes, if you did a test on 100 people, 75 to 80 of them will come back as positive for that virus. So
crazy.
It's a lot more common. It's almost impossible to avoid as well, because even
you
with
can't
a condom,
protect.
You can't protect against it, because it's passed on from skin to skin contact.
Yeah. So I got it from oral sex.
There you go.
Son of a bitch. It's so annoying.
And you think, well, I'll just suck him off and then I won't get anything from that.
No, he went down on me.
He went, oh no, so even. So you're like, right, I'm getting a treat.
Yeah.
Shit.
Wasn't such a treat.
Yeah, fuck.
Fuck number one.
The Last Fuck.
Oh, God. Wasn't that long ago. It was, I think, a week today.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's pretty fresh.
New sort of partner.
Nice.
That I've been seeing for like 3 months. So we're in that stage where we're not official, but... Mm-hmm. Sort of that conversation is, he wants to have it more than I do, I'm not going to lie.
Really? Yeah, you're unsure.
I'm like, let's just ride this train for as long as I can to like put a label on it. But no, it's going good. And that department is going good. I can report back happily.
Good.
So that's, a week ago.
Amazing. Nice. Yeah.
Do you like to have sex? Like, do you think it's important to have sex on a regular basis? Or does it not matter how often people have sex?
I think it comes down to the individual and the individual couple. I think if you want it more and you're not getting it as much, then communicate that with your partner. Yeah. I do think though that sometimes the longer you leave things, the more comfortable that can then become your new normal. Mm-hmm. Not having sex can then just become a thing.
Being comfortable with not having.
Yeah, that's like the disease. That's the disease. Yeah, exactly. And it's sort of, and before you know it, you know, it's another Christmas and you're still not, you know. So.
Yeah.
I think it's important. I think it's a very big part of a relationship. Yeah. It's a very important part of a relationship. So if the regularness changes, then maybe you might want to question why that is. Maybe it's time to spruce things up in the bedroom. Maybe
it happens quite a lot in long-term relationships.
Every long-term relationship I've had, it's always happened. The sex has drifted and it's become more difficult.
Yeah.
But it's not abnormal. It happens to so many people.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean to say that once it's fizzled out, that's it forever. It does take working on, and you can get it back up again.
Oh,
I'm having great sex at the moment with my partner.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. That's great news.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you go through phases, right?
Yeah, some good shit. But also, in our last podcast, Ben was talking about some really, and you've met Ben from the shoot that we were on.
Yeah, yes.
It's like this whole
a lot happened
circus.
On the shoot, guys. You had to be there.
And he was saying, and I've just forgotten what he was saying, but it was really useful knowledge on what me and my partner were doing for sex.
Let's just move on.
Fucking hell.
I was going to say something as well. It's like got out of my mind because you started
talking. You know when you can almost visually see the thought leaving?
Yeah.
You're almost trying to grab it, come back.
Because I was literally thinking of that when we were talking about STIs and I was like, oh, I really wanted to say that it's just the same as getting a cold. Like when you're talking about skin-to-skin contact,
right.
It's like you're on the train and somebody coughs or sneezes or you get flu or you get a cold.
Yeah.
Like that is even harder. And the fact that we... get weird about STIs, which is skin-to-skin contact, which is harder to get. Yeah. And we're so, like, shameful.
Ooh, well, it's almost like this the whole norovirus thing, and everyone's like, oh, my God, this is... The flu has killed literally millions of people, like, last year.
Yeah.
Same thing, it's a virus, but we don't talk about it. So it's all about how it's these things are just sensationalised more than anything.
Yes.
And the media, once they grab onto one thing, it's like, it's just to sell headlines.
I want to use your expertise here. Mm-hmm. So if you are in a new relationship, like yourself, and you had, say you had herpes, how do you bring that up in conversation? And do you have to? Do you have to tell every sexual
question.
Partner?
It's so hard,
that you have. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is a tricky one. I think because it comes down to the individual. I think this is what I will say to patients. If you don't have an active outbreak, which is when you're likely to not pass on the virus, then it's completely up to you.
Yeah.
If you do have an active outbreak, you shouldn't be having sex anyway.
No.
But...
You don't want to be.
I wouldn't rise if you'd even be able to, should you want
you
to.
You wouldn't want to.
Yeah. So what I'd say is, if you're in a long-term relationship, honesty is always a good foundation, solid foundation for any relationship anyway. So I think something like that is important to share with somebody you're, you know, having a romantic relationship with. And it's just courteous as well.
Yeah.
And it's just a safe thing to do and make that, you know, your partner make an informed decision. However, if you don't have an active outbreak, if you've only had it once, and sometimes, you know, with herpes people think you're gonna have it for life, you're not.
Never get outbreaks.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
and you may never get outbreaks again, or you might get one in a couple of months. You just never know.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to then give information to somebody that may not even be that big of a deal, depending on how they may receive it.
It feels like it's going to be internalized with them into a massive thing.
Yeah.
When you're like, but I don't even have outbreaks, so it's very unlikely that you're going to get it.
And you probably have the virus already, do. Not
yeah,
you,
and
but
you already
the
have yeah. it, most
yeah.
likely.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's still that chance, but the rarity is so small. And I imagine, like, it is hard when you're dating or when you're seeing yeah. somebody for the first time, because if they don't know they've got it, then they hear herpes and they think the worst.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They probably run a mile.
Yeah. For probably, sure.
Well, and like,
well, a good person wouldn't. That's the people. You
and I think
stay
it's
with.
A good test, exactly. Yeah. So you've actually got a free test to give somebody, and then that will kind of tell you what you that need is. To know.
I just feel like you should talk about STIs with any sexual partner, like just like casually, you know, like, oh, have you yeah. had any STIs? Like, yeah, I've had this, this, and this. Cool, yeah. I've had this, this, and this, and yeah. it shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah. No, exactly.
It should be like, yeah, what kind of life-threatening illnesses have you dealt with during your life anyway?
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, well, that's you know, I've had true. Shingles, I've had chicken pox, I had the flu, I get the flu all the time, I get tonsillitis all the fucking
yeah.
time. It should, it's too much dick sucking.
I know.
No, master's tonsillitis. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Quote, unquote. I have tonsillitis. Or like, did you ever yeah. do that lie where you're like, I can't come into work today because I've got conjunctivitis, when really it was just cum in the eye.
What?
I have fully done that before.
You've not?
No.
Fully.
Really?
Yep. When I was like. Maybe like 19, I was working at a bar. To be fair, I hated working there, and I just wanted any excuse.
But
I got cum in the eye, and it was like. So excruciating pain.
Yeah,
it was like I can't even explain. It wasn't like in the eye. It was like the pressure. It felt like my eye was being popped out of its socket.
Oh my god!
It was just so weird. Anyway, and my whole eye was red and swollen.
We laugh, but you'd be surprised. I get that all the time in clinic. People coming in thinking, I think I might have chlamydia or gonorrhea in my eye.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first started out as a sexual health nurse, and the first patient that said that to me, I was like, don't be so ridiculous. I was like, oh god, like, yeah. like, why would you have it in your eye? But it's a thing, and you yeah. can, and it does
yeah.
happen.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So I learned. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even as a nurse who's been doing it for years, like mm-hmm. you're still going to be learning new things because new information's coming out all the time.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Mm. That's the thing about the medical profession, is you never stop learning, because mm-hmm. there's always things, you know, studies and things that you're learning. So it's a yeah. it's a continuous studying profession.
You know, we want to actually like fund a study about how like the taste of cum, how different we were talking about this earlier, how different foods might change your, like, what makes yeah. people's cum taste different. And it's the same with, you know, what makes a female taste yeah. different.
Well, you guys know about the pineapple juice thing, right?
Yeah, but is that real?
Is that a real
myth?
Thing though?
I think it's bullshit.
I think
we
it's
don't
bullshit
know. We don't know. And we you know, having a vegan diet is supposed to make your cum feel
somewhat,
taste
yeah.
better.
Taste better,
but
yeah.
I don't know. We need to do this test, man.
Yeah, I guess ask your other halves, maybe yeah. for the lady, for the
They're
female version.
Do I don't have another half.
I guess
anymore.
The easiest way is oh no,
deep. That's so oh. deep. Like, I am just alone in this world. But
do you know what, you said that, and then up. I remember.
Yeah, I broke up the week after that.
After
shoot.
Really,
yeah.
I remember
yeah.
we had quite a lengthy conversation about
yeah,
certain things.
Did.
Yeah, you were
and
so.
I remember feeling like it was going to go in that direction.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
it's been a good thing. I've seen like Florence go from like. Sad Florence to like empowered Florence.
Empowered yeah. Florence, yeah. I remember that.
There are moments that are a bit
of
shit.
Course.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But mostly it's been a great thing.
Yeah. Fine, mostly, yeah.
yeah.
It's been good.
Being
it's a weird. How long were you together for, if you don't mind me asking?
4.5 years.
It's a long time.
And we were
isn't
living
it?
Together for
you
4 years.
You were, I remember, yeah.
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 Fuck.
It's, yeah. it's almost like being let out of prison. It's weird like, coming
being
from
let out
that prison.
Prison.
No, it is. You don't know how things work anymore. I remember coming out of a 6-year relationship, and I just like, you know, when they let you out of prison in movies, when they let people yeah. out of prison and they're still dressed in like their 70s clothes.
Yeah.
They went in.
And oh, they don't know what yeah. to do.
And then they're there with their carry bag. Like, that was me when I came out.
That
and I was
is
like, how
the
work?
Best
do
analogy for it. It's just like, should I go back to that? Should I go back
yeah,
to prison?
Yeah.
And like, it's literally like
and,
walking back into a hellhole.
And I felt free. I felt free when I came out. I was like, oh my god,
it's
literally
prison. Yeah, yeah, freeing. Yeah,
wow. So funny.
I've got all good. We're talking about that now.
Yeah, I also like having, even if you had loads of sex beforehand, you come out of prison and then you're like, how the fuck am I going to have sex again?
Oh my god, you feel like a virgin again.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because you're just like I don't know how to do this with other
somebody
people.
Else's body, yeah. and then them learning your body, what you like, what they like.
Yeah,
but it's exciting yeah. though. It's exciting as well.
So definitely. Yeah, I've been yeah. super excited because there are so many things that I really wanted to experiment with.
Yeah.
Like during the relationship that my partner wasn't really interested in. Mm. So now I'm like, okay, I've been given this amazing opportunity to like just do everything that I really wanted
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
And yeah.
No restrictions.
And it's oh. been good so far.
Woo! You were.
Fuck two.
The first fuck.
My first time. Yeah, it was very painful.
Really?
Yeah.
You're the first person on our podcast to really say how that is really
yeah
painful.
Really, for me it was really painful. Like
we're talking like excruciating.
Well, I could walk.
Was it like no hospital situation?
Yeah, it was just, I just remember it. I mean, I was 21, so I was very late to the party, which I'm actually glad about because a lot of my friends started having sex super young and I just didn't want to. You know,
That's good that you waited until you felt ready.
Because
a lot of people rush into it because they're like, all my friends are doing it. Yeah. Like, it's time. I'm 16.
I don't want to be 18 and still be a virgin.
And it gets to a point where it's like, it's just a tick box thing. Like, I just have to do it, then it's done kind of thing. I didn't want it kind of to be like that. But it wasn't somebody that I wasn't even that into, to be honest. It was just, and even though I did it at 21, I was kind of like, you know what? Let me just do it.
You're like, fuck it. I may as well.
Fuck it. I remember it being painful. I didn't enjoy my first time.
No,
like it wasn't.
Do you know why it was painful?
I think it was just because I literally hadn't had sex before, so just the penetration alone. And he was quite big as well, which didn't help for your first time.
Oh, yeah, that's not great for a first time.
No. So,
did you use lube or did you not? Because when you're young, you don't really know to do that.
And also, I'm in my 30s now, so this is like, I'm stretching my memory quite far back now. So things like, but even at 21, which I think is an age where you should be like equipped with good information about sex and stuff.
Yeah.
Things like lube, but it didn't cross my mind. Like different kinds of condoms. Like, I just didn't think, you know, I just didn't think.
Yeah, to be honest.
I didn't know where to even start.
Yeah, it took me until us starting Come Curious to really know that like lube was a thing. I think the last person that I saw before doing Come Curious, he was getting like lube involved, and I was thinking, wait, I'm not a granny. Like, why are we having to use lube?
That's the first thing you think of.
Yeah, you know, it's true. That's the first thing I thought. I thought, what? So you can't be bothered to just make me wet, like
Like, it's like we've got some fucking weird hang-ups about lube.
Yeah, we really do.
It's just because it's just not taught in sex ed in school, and you don't see it in porn either at all.
No,
and
you
they
don't.
They use lube pretty much in every scene,
for sure. Yeah.
And I've lost it.
Oh no.
It's probably going to come back to me in a second.
Do you think it was like, as in physically talking, obviously this person was well endowed. Do you think it was like a hymen issue, or do you think it was like a mental blockage? Like, you were actually worried anyway, like vaginismus? Were you closing the gates? You're like, no entry? Or was it just like, uncomfortable?
I think probably a combination of the two. I think being your first time, you're always going to be a little bit like, you know.
I remember mine being sore. Like uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, I think it's like,
it was more than
my word.
I really felt mine was quite painful. No bleeding or anything though.
That's interesting because a lot of people, I guess, actually, is it the hymen breaking that makes it bleed?
I think so.
So it could just be uncomfortable and painful.
And it takes a while. If you've never had sex before, and then you, and especially if you never then tried with toys and things, or even self-pleasure, and literally nothing, and then the first thing you do is that
put dick inside you.
Well, you're basically like fisting yourself.
Fisting
a tiny little hole. Please no. Did you experiment with toys and with yourself, like solo pleasure?
No. And I think like you said, I think that's probably plays into it as well.
Yeah.
I was just like novice out of nowhere. Right, I'm gonna just start going for it.
This is what I'm supposed to do, is be fucked by dick and then that's it.
Because that's the image that you have. And it's interesting because like now, after obviously years of just like fucking around and also working in the profession that I work in, I always tell women that you have to really know your body first. It's easier to know your body. I mean, I didn't really start enjoying sex until my late 20s, if I'm honest. Because I was in a 6-year relationship with somebody and I didn't really have a lot to compare that to as well, so it was kind of like, oh, maybe some women. And then I read an article in the Metro that said some women just never climax during sex. And then I thought, well, that's it. I'm just one of those women. And then I just decided that was it. And then I heard other women, like friends that you speak to, and they say, yeah, I never really enjoy sex that much either. And then I thought, maybe I'm just that small number. Wasn't the case at all. It was more a case of, I didn't know how to, you know, what I liked. And I didn't know how to communicate that with my partner. And so once I started to do things myself and learn what I liked in bed, then it becomes so much easier. Like, you literally have sex with anybody and you'd enjoy it because you know what you're doing. And you know
definitely.
How to sort of navigate your way and teach them how to do things.
Communication's like the greatest tool in the book when it comes to sex.
It should be in the sex Bible.
There are so many people out there just having shit sex.
Oh, because forever
they can't
and ever
communicate what Lord. They want. Or maybe they just don't know. And it's interesting what you said about reading that article and then you kind of being like, okay, well, that's it for me then.
Yeah. I've read that before and have thought you? The exact same yeah. thing. You know, and you see on the news where it's like, you know, women who physically can't come can get a switch put built in them that helps them orgasm. A literal switch. We're talking
what?
like a clickable, movable shit. I mean, that's what I imagined anyway. And it's like it's supposed to be like,
yeah, jury's out.
I mean, this was ages ago. I read it and I thought the same thing. I was like, well, I just clearly physically can't come, rather than actually thinking it's a mental blockage that mm-hmm. I've created yeah, and not yeah. feeling comfortable mm-hmm. enough, not because of just my partner, but because of myself. Mm. Being too, like, you know, self-thinking or, like, not... Literally, most of the time I was sitting there going, oh, my God, I haven't come yet. Oh, my God, he's going to think he's really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I haven't come. I still haven't come. Oh, I feel like I can come. No, it's
and
gone.
And then they ask
it's
you,
gone.
Have you come?
Yeah, and you're yeah, like, yeah, no, shit, no. Now I'm definitely not coming.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. Like, any hopes I had now, it's just been dashed.
Yeah, gone.
Yeah.
I just remembered my thought from earlier.
Yay!
Would it be wouldn't it be amazing if we all used lube during our first time?
I know.
Nice thought. We waited that long for that.
It was really unexciting. But wouldn't it be so amazing?
Yeah. We should... Oh my God, TM, trademark. Like, we should make virginity kits where it always comes with lube and different size condoms for your partner
yeah.
and also an explanation on how... We should do, like, a collab here.
Yeah, I feel a collab coming on, girls.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. like virgin bags or, like, first-time bags.
Yeah.
A first-time box.
Everything that you would ever need.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bullet vibrator in there as
oh
well.
Oh, my God,
oh,
yes.
Wow.
That
oh,
is,
wow.
like, the one. Yeah, fully.
They should, like, give them out, these kits out for, like, kids... When you hand your GCSE results,
yeah.
you get a
like,
kit in return. Here's your gift.
That's an incentive. Yeah. Like, if you get an A or an A star now, then yeah, you get a little virginity
yeah.
bag. But look, most of them will be like, I don't need that. Like,
I know.
I've
that's
already
the
lost
thing.
My virginity, mate. Like,
Fuck three.
The best fuck.
Do you know what? I'm not even just saying it, but the current guy.
Oh!
Yeah, that is good.
For sure.
So, oh no, that's getting in deep. I was going to ask, why are you not taking it to like the next step, the next level, the exclusivity?
Ooh,
why
oh,
you need to fuck
oh,
it
away?
It's just because I was like,
on
the
it.
Best
if
sex,
it's there, what the hell are you waiting for? It's true. It's a very fair question. You sound like my mum as well.
Oh, no! Sorry.
No, my mum's just desperate to marry me off to anybody.
Please.
Oh, my
anybody
God.
Anybody whose sperm count will give her a grandchild.
Parents really throw on the pressure, don't
Isn't
they?
It? They're just like, I don't want to die before a grandkid. Like, please, marriage,
then when they come, the call you're trying to close, yeah, they won't
babysit.
Yeah.
You married yet?
Remember that grandchild you asked for?
Yeah.
They need you. Do you know what it is? I think I've been single for, you know, some people always like they're always in relationships and, mm-hmm. and they just like go back and forth. I'm the complete opposite. I've been like one relationship for like 4 years and then been single for 10 years. Like
wow.
yeah, so I'm one of these people. So I'm
that's so good though.
And I've been single for like I think almost 4 years. Yeah, you know when you get so comfortable in your own little bubble, like mm-hmm. I'm so like I just do things in my way and I've got a certain way I like to do things. And
yeah.
then bringing somebody into your world and you have to share and you have to like now I'm like I told him, look, I'm doing a podcast and then I'm doing this and I'll see you around 7, but it may be 11 because I might have to do, and then now I have to like run my day by somebody, so I'm sort of getting used to
yeah.
sharing my time and space. And when you're used to not having to do that, it's quite a scary thing to bring somebody into it. But also I think when you've had like shit experiences as well, mm-hmm. you're a little bit more cautious. So it's only been what
yeah.
2.5 months, 3 months, so I'm kind of like, it's going great. I just want to like keep it as nice as it is now and not rush into anything too serious.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But I mean, it's going the right way. We're going Bali in 3 weeks. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Holiday sex. That's...
I know. But they also say holidays like make or break. Like even if
oh,
it's...
Oh, really?
Yeah, they say you don't know somebody. Like going on holiday with a partner is a big test.
Yeah, I don't know about that though. I know some people that have been on holiday and it's been awful and I'm like, okay, yeah. Like,
done now.
Expecting it to be ended and it hasn't.
And then work their way back
I'm
up.
Like, yeah, and it's just like, it just looks awful.
But
that was the test
other?
Itself, and they clearly passed. So
yeah, it'll be really good. And holiday sex, because there's no pressure, and
yeah.
like you can have it whenever.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah,
the best bit.
You can
it.
Have it in the shower on
beach.
The beach.
Oh, I don't know about the sandy V girls.
I know it sounds good in theory, and then afterwards you get in sandy places
and you get caught.
I actually got like a message from a girl when I was on holiday, like, what happens to sand in your vagina?
It will
like,
come out.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a genuine, like, if...
Yeah, I was like,
have you ever had anyone come into the clinic with sand in their vagina?
Do you know what? No. I mean, I've had a lot of things in the vagina, but not sand, no.
But that would
Can you talk about things that you've
found in vaginas? Or in bum holes?
Well, yeah, of course. No names, of course. I mean, yeah. Not I remember, but I mean...
Yeah, like Barry had like a fucking, I don't know, Darth Vader doll
off his
ass.
Went out the window once I found that coupon bar, yeah.
But yeah, sand in the vagina does come out. Like, right? We are self-cleaning.
We are self-cleaning. Yeah, your vagina, it's self-cleansing, so it cleans itself. So eventually it will wash it out.
Yeah.
What hasn't been washed out of a vagina? Have you found anything?
The most common thing is, as you would probably guess, stuck tampons, which is so easily done. It's unbelievable. I don't even use them myself personally because of that very reason. It's really? So, I mean, they're so tiny. You put one in. You know when you're like, did I switch the oven off?
Yeah.
You know, same thing. You could easily think, is there one up there? And then if you don't feel the strings, which sometimes happens, you think, oh, okay, no, it's not. And then you put another one. So I've seen that happen all the time. And it can be, you can actually die from it as well. Like, it's quite serious. You can end up going into sepsis and going into toxic shock.
Yeah. I mean, how common actually is that? Because obviously it's one of those like scary things that you read on the little leaflets in your tampon
packet.
That's
all I remember from sex education was toxic shock. I was mortified.
Yeah, really,
really put me off of using tampons.
Of using tampons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the smell itself is, you
the
can't forget.
The smell itself, I mean, I've definitely left a tampon up inside me for at least a day or two. Mm. And taking it out and you're like, oh my God, it really smells.
A day or two?
Yeah, a day or two.
Wow.
Yeah.
I, like, recently I've really noticed the smell of my period. Mm. Like, I use a menstrual cup. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it can stay in there all day. And then you take it out at the end and it's just like, whoa, that's... Dang.
Yeah.
It has a particular kind
of... It's like very like metallic-y.
Metallic-y, yeah.
It's like quite like sour is like the wrong word, but like it's like a...
Oh, it's not great.
How do you describe a dead body? You can't.
It was weird because when I started using menstrual cups, I never really noticed the smell. Mm. And then it got to a point, I don't know when it was, at some point last year, and I really noticed it and I was like, oh my God, there's something wrong with me.
Mm.
There's
something
wrong with me. My period really smells and it never usually smells. Yeah. So I actually went to the doctors to talk to them about it because I was like, there must be something wrong with my vagina. Like, my period started smelling really bad. But she was just like, it's completely normal for a period to smell.
But the thing is,
I think that's the best way to describe it. It's like a metallic-y kind of,
like stale. I don't know, man. I'm using all like the nasty words.
I mean, it is pretty nasty.
It's not fragrance, it's all blood. It's going to have a weird smell to it.
Yeah, all body functions, fluids rather.
I find that using menstrual cup, my periods, I rarely notice my periods anymore. It was only when I was using pads that I really could smell my period.
Do you know, I've never used the menstrual cup, you know?
Oh, it's like, once you get the knack of it, which is hard and it can take a few months, it's like life changer.
One of my friends, she swears by it. In my head, I just thought it sounds like an accident just waiting to happen. Like, if you drop it, I'll use the thing. Yeah. But then I learned a lot more about them.
Definitely can happen.
Yeah.
I think we had a story written in once where someone took out her menstrual cup in her like new boyfriend's bathroom.
And the blood
like literally flicked out all
everywhere.
Over the white bathroom
because you have to get the knack to put it in
blood
and also
bath.
To get it out.
Oh my god!
I mean, I think if you're uncomfortable with tampons anyway, I always find them better than tampons. They're way more comfortable.
Sure.
But if you're like, I know
they
a lot of people
don't dry you up either.
Oh my god!
And you're not
going
to forget.
So
you're less
comfy.
Likely to forget it.
But is it bad to keep that blood like inside of you though and not release
that's
it?
That's a good question. What would be the bad bit
what
about
would happen
it?
To it? Yeah, nothing terrible would happen. Mm. Also, and I mean, unless you've got an infection of some sort that can potentially make it worse, but other than that, nothing terrible would happen. I guess the theory is that after 8 hours, most people would have maybe enough blood in there that you just need to empty at that point.
Yeah. I just don't. Not anymore. Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, would you have really light periods?
No. I'd say it's like full, but not like
But that's after
overflowing.
24 hours.
Yeah, fine.
So, yeah.
So what's crazy about it is that you really notice like how much you actually bleed and it's not as much as you would
it's
think.
It's only like two tablespoons,
I think
isn't it?
The pads have a way of making it look like shit. I'm
oh my God. Blood bar.
Pads make it look like there's so much blood coming out of you. And same with tampons even, because what if that's completely soaked? Do you think you see that as like a whole block of blood?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, rather than like like, nah, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, and also you've got your normal vaginal fluid and all that stuff in there, and so by the time it comes out, there's a lot going on.
There's exactly. a lot going on.
So it looks a lot worse than it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fuck number four.
The worst fuck.
Worst sex?
Mm.
Probably my last relationship.
Oh, no.
No, not even because... Not as a shade, not in a shady kind of way, but... I sound like a bitter, disgruntled ex, I know. But I guess just for the reason that I gave earlier in that I just wasn't as... I was together from when I was like 22 to like mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. And... I just hadn't. That was my first long-term relationship.
Mm. Yeah,
I'd had a boyfriend before, but was super young there. That conversations like that just weren't had.
Yeah,
and so this was my first proper relationship. He wasn't really the type to have
talk
those. He wasn't like massively like sexual to be like. So he didn't initiate. I didn't initiate. I didn't really have a lot of references in terms of sex and relationships and stuff like that.
Did you find it was like just not
so
very
just
connected?
Yeah, it just wasn't connected. I wasn't getting it as much as I wanted as well.
Yeah.
And you know when you have the feeling of wanting to have sex and you have sex and you're like, yeah, no.
Not
yeah.
satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just constantly felt like that. And then that's when I decided that, okay, well, maybe it's just me because he seems to be having a, you know, marvellous time.
Oh, God, that's so painful and so
frustrating. And so I thought, well, it's just me. And I'd say that was, I've probably had worse sex than that. But I think because that was a long-term relationship and it was for so long, then I'll say that, yeah, that's 6 years I'm never going to get back.
Yeah, because it's really hard to sort of admit that you put yourself through such bad sex for so long.
When I think of it now, I'm like, I'm so sorry, self. Like, now that I know, I'm like, oh, my God, I actually thought I was going to marry this person.
Oh, no.
I was like, what if that did happen? That would be me.
God, I relate so
much. But then you think,
much.
How many women have like died not having even a remotely decent sex, you know?
Oh my God,
in like
gone
through life.
So many.
Like, just in life.
Just even thinking about now, this very moment, the billions of people in the world just having shit sex.
I think
like,
if we were
so
to do
sad.
A study, and I think, and not to generalize or anything, of course, because everybody is different, but I think particularly with women, I think sex is trickier for us in terms of pleasure.
Yes.
If you were to do a study for women, I think it would be flawed to find out how many women actually don't really enjoy sex that much. Yeah. Purely because we just don't know or have the...
Yeah, but we want it.
But we like, want it. This is the thing, yeah.
It's just so frustrating that, like, just because of a lack of communication or a lack of knowledge, like, people just aren't having... I don't know, just not having a good time because they're not able to communicate what they want or even know their bodies because they didn't know whether to, like, how to self-pleasure or... Yeah. Like, because we weren't even taught about self-pleasure or female orgasms or pleasure in sex education.
No. We're talking from a privileged country as well who do have sex in education.
Yeah.
Like other places that just, you know, it's like forbidden or they just don't get the access to it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. So where I work in Soho, so it's the busiest clinic in Europe.
Yeah.
So because of where we're located, it's like super central. So we see like literally everybody and we get a lot of people because it's right in the heart of London. We get loads of people coming from all over Europe, like people who are just here maybe for 6 months studying or working and just sort of passing through, and they come through the sexual health clinic, of course. And the stories, one of the things that people always say is like, I just can't believe you guys have this service, like it's just amazing, like there's where I come from, whether it's like somewhere in Italy or Spain or anywhere, like, and they just say we just don't have even just being able to go to a sexual health clinic, even though okay yeah you may have to wait a couple of hours, but even just having somewhere to go to speak about that, like we don't have that, or even sex education or seeing posters about, you know, they just don't, it just doesn't happen. So imagine, so that's us who probably have the best, you know,
sex education.
I wonder if we've got that in the world. Like, I'd love to know what country has the best sort of sex education or sexual health services. Like, I'm sure it's like,
it's like Sweden or Switzerland.
Yeah,
where they only work 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
They're stressed. They're actually having a good quality of life.
Yeah, super. And then whether that actually reflects on the sex that people are having that live there as well. Because I guess a good sex education should equal good sex.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be like quite a few Scandi countries or like Norway or even the Netherlands. They're supposed to teach sex education for kids, like 3 to 4 year olds. Not necessarily about sex, but it's about, you know, their bodies and differences and consent and genitals.
Yeah.
And like, why don't we fucking do that here?
I know.
It blows my mind.
You start the better with kids. Obviously, we're not talking about pleasure. Like, there's certain things, of course, are just not appropriate to talk about. But even things like body parts and things about consent and what's right, what's wrong, and just normalizing conversation on the most basic, for children. But I think the earlier you start, the better, because especially nowadays, children, how many times do you see children on their parents' phones and they're flicking through all sorts of YouTube and this and that? You know, the internet is not policed enough that you have to really educate your children before you let them
definitely
sort of, because it's there, it's just there, isn't it?
It's the same with like porn, like having just free access to porn, and kids are just going to learn all the bad habits
and
they're
going to learn things younger and younger now as the internet takes over, kind of thing, so which is happening now, like
exactly that's why it needs to be taught.
So it needs now,
definitely younger.
I mean, yesterday Terence Higgins Trust, which is the biggest HIV charity, and BASH, which is the British Association for Sexual Health,
amazing,
two massive charities, they did a study and the results came out yesterday about sort of, it was called hashtag State of the Nation, and it was about infection rates in the UK, and we've not seen as many syphilis cases today as since World War II.
That's insane.
And also obviously government cuts have played a massive role in that.
Why is it that people are getting more STIs these days? Because it has, like, it's obviously gone up,
fluctuated, especially from like when everyone was quite scared back in the 70s 80s when they were talking about HIV and AIDS so much.
I guess it's because of online dating and like more opportunity to have sex, but then also it must be people not using condoms, right?
I think it's a combination of so many different things. I think it is a combination of, you know, online dating, sex is a lot more accessible. Before you really had to get dressed and go out to a bar. Like now you can just stay at home under your duvets and talk to somebody on an app and meet up the next day, kind of thing. So things like that obviously make it more. Things like government cuts, I think there's been a change. We've seen a massive shift, I'd say, in the last 5 to 10 years, where we're seeing cultures really changing and how we approach sex and relationships and how we talk about them. And I think it's sort of becoming more normalised, so people feel a lot more liberated. I think women feel a lot more liberated to own their sexuality now. And have sex with whoever they want to without any sort of shame attached to that. So I think what we're finding is that people are just generally having more sex. And people
Freaky
also
fuckers.
And people and also people are not using a lot of protection. And we're seeing a massive increase in people under the age of 25 and people over the age of 65.
Which is
a very interesting demographic, because
I'm gonna call my mum out here, because I gave her a packet of condoms last time she came over, because I was like, mum you need to be protected, your age group is very susceptible,
so you're high risk.
It's all the isn't it the elderly in the old folks homes where especially when mental health maybe deteriorates, they're all having that. It's like they regress back to school where they all have like girlfriends and boyfriends, and they're
cute.
All like,
Because
they don't need to have any protection, they just fuck and don't really give a fuck. And they're like, well, even if I get an STI, I'll like, it doesn't really matter. And they just like explode like a Petri dish, and it's ripe. I love it. I literally can't wait till I'm like,
it gives you hope though. Great. I'll still be having sex in my 60s. That's amazing.
Especially if I'm living in a home.
I'm going to be having sex. Into my hundreds.
But I'm going to have girlfriends, boyfriends all the time. I'm going to be like sharing care. Oh my God,
you know,
the orgies.
It's weird, but I almost like that they're going up in the older community, because it's showing that obviously that's our own, you know, we're being prejudiced, thinking that if you go, sex is for a certain age range.
Yeah.
So maybe now we'll start targeting older people when we're doing, you know, sexual health campaigns and stuff like that, because that's clearly a group that obviously needs it as well.
Yeah, because what reaches out to that age group when it comes to sex.
I've personally never seen like a condom ad.
No.
Somebody from my parents or grandparents' generation.
You only ever see like
young,
Viagra or
constipation, erectile dysfunction, constipation, irritable bowels,
leaky vagina.
I want to see someone of that age, make sure to wrap up. Fuck number 5.
The fuck that made me.
Oh, this was, I would say, 3 years ago in Croatia. I went to a festival.
Festival sex.
And it was, do you know what? It was a lovely night, because it was this guy, and we just hit it off. Whatever. Spent the whole festival together. No, not the whole festival. That was another guy. I digress. One guy. That was the next day. No, so we met one night at one of the stages or whatever, and we stayed there, him, his friends, me, my friends, and we all just sort of hang out. And it was one of those nights that is just like, I mean, I can't say too much on here, but yeah, it was just like everyone was just in a riot in the good space, and everything just happened. We were really super into each other. Like, it was amazing. Like, and after that, we didn't need to stay in. It just was that. And it was just
lovely.
The best. Yeah. And honestly, it's one of the best nights of my life, I'd say.
Wow.
And only for memories that like you never thought, only like, oh, I wish I did it again.
No. Do you know what? No. And I think that was not long after, because this was about 3 years ago, not long after I'd broken up from that last relationship. So that was the relationship that made me think, oh, thank God. That was the right decision.
Never
I made.
Yet.
And I was super, and I was like, I'm over it. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Did you, like, fucking attend?
No, we ended up going back to, was it his? We all went back for a house party. And then, I mean, it was like 24 hours later, was still like, but.
Still going at it. That's so good.
Oh, so yeah, that was like, that was the best, I'd say, for sure.
I think when
that changed my life.
When you're traveling or like do something like that's a little bit like out of your normal routine.
Yeah.
When it, like, things just like the magic really happens. Great things
happen, right? When you're just outside of your normal, and your mentality is different as well.
Yeah.
You have completely different minds. Mm-hmm. That was, I've been like, oh.
Yeah, because
like you didn't care, but when you're on holiday, you're like, oh.
And also, you're in another country, I think, which probably plays into the fact that you're not going to get attached after the sex. Because you're like, this isn't going to be anything.
This is our holiday romance. Exactly. I love a holiday romance.
Holiday romances are the best. Oh, me and Reed are going to LA.
Oh my God.
I am going to try for holiday romances.
Oh, I love a holiday. You know, I think I almost always have a holiday romance.
Really?
Yeah.
Like dead set every time.
I don't know. I don't seek them out. No.
Must
just happen. It just happens. But
Was it the fact that you just had great sex and then like was able to detach yourself from that? What am I looking for? Connection that made it such an impactful experience for you.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was the first time that I'd met somebody who had almost like the same sort of sex drive, I'd say. And I think something then clicked. It wasn't so much that, oh, it's him and he's the one. Mm. But I then realised that actually I had just settled for somebody, then I needed to actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I realised that, I think that's what made it the sex that sort of changed my life kind of thing, but because that's the first time I actually really enjoyed sex with him.
And that's because you had that like level that like the same levels
and also I think by then I was a lot more self-aware and I'd already like so with my ex, I then obviously dated some other guys around, but I'd say that guy was the first one that was like, okay,
yeah.
And it was literally just one night, but and that's all I wanted from it either as well.
Yeah.
But it was good shit.
It's some good shit.
I think I have a problem because when I get good stuff, I like get attached because I'm like, I'm never going to find something this great again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're like, well, I've tried to find it for this long. It's never
exactly.
Come around.
I swear that's like a survivor mechanism, though. Our bodies and our brains are telling us like, you got something good from that. That means you need to like take them and have babies with them, and then
maybe.
Spread more goodness.
Yeah. Maybe it is just that.
Yeah.
Why?
Probably just hormones being like, no. He needs to put a baby inside you.
Yeah.
Pin him down.
Yeah.
This is what marriage, man. It's a fucking.
It's
they're
true.
Like, oh, yeah. I'm engaged now. It's like, well, you're fucked for life, mate.
Oh my God. Yeah, I can't.
So you're not the marriage.
Worse.
No, I'm not. Who's to say? It's hard to say. Mm-hmm. Never say never because I think it's silly.
Yeah. It's not something that you're like, this I must.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I'm into non-monogamy, if not polyamory.
Polyamory,
so of course, you can be married and do the same, but marriage for me is still quite a religious concept, and I'm just not religious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, like in my last relationship, I was so ready to get married and have kids.
Yeah.
But like weirdly, since the breakup, I don't feel that way at all.
It's crazy,
anymore.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
When I was in that relationship, I was convinced like that's what I was working towards. I was like, right, we're gonna get engaged, and then I was like, well, where's this going? Because you know, I have to think about having kids because I'm approaching my and all these things come into your mind. And now I'm like in my early 30s, approaching my mid 30s, and I'm like, actually, did I ever even want these things, or did I want them because I felt like that's what I should be doing at that age?
Yeah.
Because that's just how life
it's
goes.
It's the should. Because especially as women, we have like the clock.
Yeah, the clock.
Everyone always reminds us.
Goodness.
Oh,
yeah.
So like, bullshit. Pisses me right off.
I wanted when I was in a long-term relationship compared to when I got out of that.
So different.
Like, I don't... never say never, and mm-hmm. my mum's not listening.
Sorry, mum.
But as in, I don't even know if I want kids, you know? Like,
yeah.
All these things I would not have known. And then I always think to myself, what if I had gone down that route? What if the relationship went the way I wanted it to go?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
I would have been having shit sex, stuck in a marriage.
Same.
With kids. And not living a good life. Like, potentially really miserable. And but then you can see how easily that happens.
So easy.
Oh, yeah. We're our own worst enemy. Yeah. It's like, I swear this is the hormone saying, like, you need to be with them for the rest of your life. You need to have babies with them.
It's animal instinct, isn't it? Because as people that can create life, you look for that person to then protect your family that you're going to create together,
which ain't right in itself.
Our bodies naturally want us to have kids, which is why we feel horny in the first place.
Our bodies so, just like, you need to have some kind of spunk inside you. I need to be preggers.
Okay, buddy.
But obviously we're so intelligent now that it's like so much more than that.
So
much more.
That's what I always say to younger, especially in their 20s. I'm like, just wait, if you still want this, like, especially if you're 100% happy and everything's good, then fine. Yes, 100%, you know. But if you're, don't push it just because you feel like this is what you should be doing and you should settle down with this person because you're at this age. And then you start thinking, oh, by the time I find somebody else, I have to get them to know for 2 years.
And then I have to engage.
And then by the time we have the first kid, I'll be this age. But then I want 2 kids or 3 kids.
I've thought about those things too.
Yeah,
it's actually crazy.
It's programmed in us though, like from like the get go, from even just like the children's films that we watch, like looking at Disney, and it's like poor helpless Disney princess girl. I mean, I fucking love Disney, so I'm all over that shit. But that does ingrain us that we need to find a prince to protect us and to be happily ever after married.
Happily ever.
It's like fuck off. Really, I should be the one that protects my family. I'm gonna be the one that does the DIY and does everything. I'm gonna be a single mum.
The primary caregiver. Yeah,
I don't want to be married. Like, I want to just fuck it all out the window.
So if you are in a relationship where you're not getting good sex, then
this is your warning.
Run. Is like, see the red flags.
This is the sign you've been looking for.
Yeah. Either go to therapy or get the fuck out.
Because I think that's a good point. Because in relationships, there are going to be ups and downs.
Definitely.
Don't just fuck off just because something, you know, of course, there are going to be highs and lows in any relationship.
But you both
both need to fight for it. If you're the only person fighting for it, then... there's no point. And I think sometimes it gets to a point where, because I felt like I was the one fighting, I was like, why am I fighting? I ain't a wrestler.
For fuck's sake.
This week's sex question is, I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, currently listening to the one with Caden. It's really made me relax a bit. I haven't got HIV, I don't think, but I heard the part about HPV, which I do have. I have tried my best to do research about this, but I couldn't get my head around it all. I've listened to your podcast, but I can't remember if there was one that covers the topic more in depth. Would you mind letting me know which one you have and which one it is? And then I just fucking love what you guys do and talk about. And she's been banging on about it to everyone.
Oh, bless
her.
So
cute.
Thanks, curious fucker.
I feel that brought up quite an interesting thing, which is like basically what's there's two types of HPV. Mm. Is it HPV?
HSV.
HSV.
Yeah.
And wait, is that what she, or did she say HPV?
I think she said HPV, which is
I think
human
she was thinking about
think
both of them.
She's probably thinking about both, okay.
Yeah, oh, maybe.
Yeah.
But then also, because she's talking about types and she knows that we have herpes, I feel like she's talking about herpes.
Maybe. I get so confused with all of them. The HPV, HSVC.
I know. All these abbreviations. It's like, God, even I get that answer.
Yeah, and then there's two different types. Actually, there's more than one type of HPV as well, isn't
there's
there?
There's loads, I mean, there's loads. So the HPV, the human papillomavirus, it causes all sorts of different types of... it's a virus that causes genital warts, but it also causes different types of cancers. So in women, certain type of cervical cancers, and in men who have sex with men, certain types of anal cancers. So what we're doing now, which is, I think, over the last, say, 2 years or so, we introduced the human papillomavirus for gay men. Mm-hmm. So vaccinate all gay men under the age of 45 against it, because we found that actually men who have sex with men, there's a higher risk for certain types of anal cancers.
Ah.
And so, because it's always been used for young girls in schools and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I missed the boat. I missed the boat with that one.
I think I had the injection,
Did you? I feel like I had it, but I can't remember.
Because it's at 15, 16, yeah, I think, for young girls.
Yeah.
In Australia, they're doing it for a long time, and then it sort of moved over here as well. Mm-hmm. I think I probably just missed out by a couple of years. So it causes different types of cancers. It's better to have the vaccination before you're sexually active as a girl. Because it's a girl, isn't it? Ask the question. Yeah. So she wants to know a little bit more about,
I guess, the different types. I don't know whether it is really HPV or HSV,
the herpes virus,
because there's two types of herpes.
Yeah,
so you can get the oral one and the
genital one. Yeah,
but like, what is the actual difference?
So there's not massive difference in it. So there's type one and there's type two. Type one is typically found on the lip, but it can be found in the genital area as well. Mm-hmm. Type two typically tends to be in the genital area. Type one is mainly in the sore. Type one is less aggressive. Type two is more aggressive. So you're more likely to have symptoms with type two.
Yeah.
But if you get people who get cold sores on their lip, they've got herpes. And you know, everyone always says, oh, I've got a cold sore. And you never think, oh my God. Never, because so many people get cold sores and it's a normal thing.
It's so normal.
And it's normalized. Like, I've never heard anyone say, oh my God, you've got a cold. Yeah, some people might react like that, but it's not like, there's no shame attached to having a cold sore on your lip.
Strange, isn't it?
But somehow when it's down there, then it's like,
wow.
Whoa.
But it's the same thing. The only difference is maybe in how aggressive it can be when it does present itself. But essentially, it's the same virus. It's not, there's not much difference in the one or the two. And that you can get one and two down there, you mainly get one on the lip. Mm. Yeah.
I wanted to ask a question about I keep wanting to say HSBC, which is like a bank account. Basically, I've had warts before.
Right.
Do I need to be careful about cancers, as in like in the
good question.
Vagina hole.
In the vaginal area.
Oh, fuck.
No, not more so than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So if you have genital warts, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to increase your risk of having cervical cancer. No, so don't worry. The virus itself causes loads of different things. So it's not just warts, it's all sorts of different things. But it doesn't mean that just because you've got genital warts that it's going to increase your chances of having cervical cancers.
Once you've got HPV, do you have it forever?
No. So your body will clear it at some point.
Wait, yeah. How long? HPV is herpes, right?
No, HPV is warts. Is,
fuck's sake.
The other one.
I don't even know my own illnesses. Like, what the hell? Okay. Sorry, I'm following.
So, well, they both kind of work in very similar ways, actually. Mm. We wouldn't test, because a lot of people come in and say, my boyfriend's got herpes, can I have a test? And it's like, no. You either have it or you don't. So with genital warts or genital herpes, if you go to a sexual health clinic and ask for a test, there's no test for it. So if you come to the clinic and say, I think I might have a wart, then how we essentially diagnose you is just by looking. So I can tell just by looking at the skin and let you know whether that's just a spot or whether it's a wart.
Yeah.
A lot of people come in and it's just spots here and there. Just
like ingrown hairs.
Evil. The bane of my existence. My So HPV, which is genital warts, and HSV, which causes genital herpes, they work quite similar in that they're passed on from skin to skin contact.
Yeah.
So with both of them, condoms obviously always help, but they won't always protect you against them, unfortunately. Yeah. Unlike chlamydia, that if you wear a condom, then there's a good chance you won't catch it, even if you have sex with somebody who does have it.
Yeah.
Whereas with genital warts and herpes, if somebody has an active outbreak and there's that skin-to-skin contact, it's not guaranteed that you're going to get it, but there's a good but you will be exposed to the virus. And then once you do have the virus, we know that there's a chance that you may get an outbreak at some point.
Yeah.
Now, what people do, which is completely understandable, is that they assume that, let's say you get an outbreak of warts or herpes, you naturally assume that it's your most current partner. They must have given it to you.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about both of these viruses is that they can lay dormant for you for years. So you could literally have a one-night stand tonight with somebody, 3 years later get genital warts based on that sexual contact.
Wow.
So you could, and that's why I tell people that if you tested 100 of us, most of us will come back positive, and any of us could essentially get an outbreak of genital warts or herpes at any point. It's not a reflection of anything, really. Essentially, it just means that at some point you've at least had a cuddle with somebody without clothes on. That's literally all it means. It doesn't mean that you don't have to have sex with a million people, and you probably got it already.
Yeah. Oh, how can you put people's minds at ease? Because so many times, I used to do this when I was younger. I thought I had herpes or genital herpes, or I thought I had something. Like, how can you stop them coming in and wasting their time and wasting, you know, nurses or doctors' time.
What I'll say with herpes, what I'll say, if you've never had genital herpes before and then you get it for the first time, you would know. You would know what it is. As in, if you've never had the outbreak, you're likely to get systemically unwell. So you might feel other symptoms that are not to do with an STI. So you might start feeling generally unwell, flu-like symptoms, very fluey. Like with any virus that's laying dormant, it's more likely to attack you when your immune system's a little bit suppressed.
Yeah.
So if you're fighting off a cold, like, okay, we're in the middle of winter now, so we're more likely to see people having outbreaks. So what I would say is look out for symptoms. But if you don't have any symptoms, I wouldn't worry, because you either have it or you don't. So if you haven't noticed any painful blisters down there, then you don't have herpes.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen any warts, and if you want to know what warts look like, you can obviously Google them. There's two types of warts. Sometimes they can come looking quite smooth, so they can appear almost like a spot. But typically, they almost look like cauliflower.
So when I looked, I was like, I was very confused whether or not it was a wart or a spot.
Because they're quite rough looking, aren't they? And they literally look like tiny cauliflower.
And it feels just the same as a spot.
And they're not painful. No. Yeah, it feels like a spot. Not painful, doesn't even bother you at all. Sometimes it can take a while to diagnose it. Sometimes it can go unnoticed by the, you know, by the naked eye. So it's just, if you've got an outbreak, just make sure you keep, first thing, stop having sex, go to a sexual health clinic and get some advice, get an examination. Unless you have reason to worry, I wouldn't worry too much. I know that sometimes our minds can play tricks on us.
Oh yeah.
So psychological symptoms, like, you know, you read an article and you think, that's it, I think I've got it.
And your mate gets ill after a sore throat and you're like, I've got a sore throat. Oh my God, I'm dying.
Yeah.
I always get that when I'm with someone that's got a sore throat.
Which is always
without a doubt. Like an hour later, I'll be like, I've got a sore throat.
I've got it, that's it.
But I was really surprised, because my partner and I, after I think one of our first times we were away swinging, having sex with other people, we both went to the sexual health clinic because we had what we thought was blisters in the corners of our mouth, thinking we've both got oral herpes. And they both laughed at us, like both the nurses, they were like, no, you've just got dry skin. And of course, what we didn't realise was that you need to have it, like you generally can't test for it unless you've got the blisters.
Yes.
And it's the same with other STIs. You can't test for them within 2 weeks. You have to go over that incubation period. And I didn't know, no one taught me that when I was younger. It's only until recently I've been like, huh, so even if I think I have something, I still can't test unless you have obvious symptoms.
That's the good thing about them as well, is that, and like things like chlamydia, gonorrhea, HIV or syphilis that you can have without having any symptoms. With genital warts and genital herpes, you either, like I said, have them or you don't. So if you have herpes, how we test for it is you come in, we do examination, we take swabs of it, send it off, and that's how essentially we diagnose. And with warts, it's just a matter of having a look at the skin, and then somebody, you know, a professional will then tell you whether it's a wart or not. But the good thing is that at some point your body will clear the virus, but that could be 2 weeks, 2 months, 10 years. Everybody is different.
Can your body clear the virus of herpes though?
Yeah, no, it can. At some point, your body will clear the virus. Some people, it takes years. Some people, it takes months. Some people only get one outbreak and never get it again.
Wow, that's so interesting. Yeah, maybe I don't have mine on my neck anymore.
You probably don't.
Probably don't. What we normally say is if you haven't had an outbreak in about two, with both of them actually, if you haven't had an outbreak in about 2 years, the longer you've not had a return of symptoms, the less likely you are to then get it again. So maybe the longer, never, the better.
Maybe I don't fucking have it either.
Maybe I don't have herpes anymore.
Yeah, what the hell?
Wow, no one asked. Outbreak probably over 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So normally, after two years, we'll say there's a good chance that it's looking good that you may not get it anymore. That you may have cleared the virus. Yeah, you never know.
But after two years,
it's unlikely.
Everyone sees herpes and you're like, oh my God, you're gonna have that for the rest of your life.
The Americans, they sensationalized it.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Making such a big deal.
Shattering.
Oh my God. Maybe we need to do a YouTube video on this. Yeah. We're both like, yeah, we have herpes and mine hasn't flared up in 10 years.
Really?
Yeah, and I had shingles recently and I really thought it was going to flare up.
Yeah. Because with herpes, if you're feeling unwell, you're more likely to get it. I'm sure in the last 10 years you've had bouts where you've really been unwell. And if you then haven't had an outbreak,
definitely not. It's It's gone,
I'd say,
bitches.
I'd say you're good.
Got it. It's out of the house.
I'd say you're good.
That was like a bit of my grandmother, like a part of me every day, you know? Now she's gone.
Well, hold
like,
on, officially. She gave it to you?
Yeah, my grandmother gave me herpes on my neck.
You? Oh,
yeah,
bless.
She had a cold sore. It got like, there must have been a scratch on my neck. And I remember when I was like in year eight when I first got diagnosed that I told my teacher and he like jumped, backed away from me, like, ew.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
what?
He was quite like overdramatic kind of man. But it really set me up as I was like, didn't even think it was a big deal.
His level of knowledge wasn't clearly that great either.
Clearly, I was like, what, do you think I'm going to give you it for fuck's sake?
But I'm glad that you said how you got it, actually, because that's one thing with people kissing babies, like, just don't do it. Because herpes can be life-threatening, especially as a baby. Or if you're a mother and you're going through labour and you're giving child, you can pass it on to your child through childbirth.
So
just be careful in terms of that. So if you ever have an active outbreak, just avoid kissing anybody, and then that way you're good.
Definitely. Thank you for all that information. That was really good. I think it is time for us to fuck off.
Yeah, we really got fuck off. Like, we've been chatting for a long time.
Damn.
But babe, thank you so much.
No
it's problem. Been amazing. Your knowledge has like blown our minds.
Oh, bless you.
You are our sex guru, I swear. Like, anytime we have a problem, we're going to be messaging you. Like, please help.
That's it. We're going to start a group chat now.
Yeah. Where can our curious fuckers find you?
So you guys, you can find me in the new series of The Sex Clinic, actually.
Woo! Yeah.
Which is coming back in March, so it will be on E4. We don't have a confirmed date, but it's definitely out this March on E4, normally on Mondays at 10 p.m. but we'll send out more information.
We'll see.
Keep an eye on my Instagram is at sarah.melindois.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So remember to rate this podcast, give us a lovely review, and subscribe to it if you haven't already.
Yes.
It really does help us out. It gets us up into the charts, and we want to be hitting that number one spot.
Please share, because we're just about to hit 1 million listens. You can help push us over the edge, as well as follow us on Come Curious. And if you fancy, you can follow our personal accounts at ReadAmberX or
Florence Bark.
Oh, nice. We will all see you next week.
Goodbye.
I mean, hear you. I'll hear you. They'll hear us.
You.
Fucking us. Hell, man. Oh, my days.
Goodbye, curious fuckers.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye. I'm waving still.